Coach Vogel has a proven track record of success in the NBA playoffs, and he reflects the core qualities we were looking for in a head coach.
You are Locked On Fantasy Basketball, your daily fantasy basketball podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Fantasy Basketball podcast brought to you by Basketball Monster. My name is Josh Lloyd and I am the lead fantasy analyst at basketballmonster.com, and you can find me on Twitter as always at redrock_bball. Today we're going to be looking back at the drama-filled 2018-19 Los Angeles Lakers season, talking about what could potentially happen this offseason, what did happen last season, and what's going to happen maybe in the future. Michael Bolton.
Let's get to it.
Let's get to it indeed. Before we get on to looking at the particulars, they have hired a new head coach after firing Luke Walton. Frank Vogel is in, despite not being in their initial list of candidates after their first two choices turned them down, Monty Williams and Ty Lue. And of course, Frank Vogel has had Jason Kidd foisted upon him as the assistant head coach. Magic Johnson resigned. He hasn't been replaced. Rob Pelinka and Kurt Rambis have stepped into the power vacuum. This entire team is an absolute disaster in their decision-making processes. And you know what? Vogel could come in, and I think he's a fine choice for a coach. I think he's solid. He was good in Indiana. He was not good in Orlando and struggled in all that time. But it's all about, you know, process and decision-making and putting Jason Kidd in a position, a absolute guaranteed 100% authentic shit bloke, a guy who's been charged and convicted on domestic violence charges, drinking under the influence of alcohol, you know, continually beating his missus while she was pregnant, just undermining, duplicity in front offices, just a terrible, terrible hire. And again, you got a head coach in there who doesn't get to choose his lead assistant. You're pushing that guy on, a guy who openly campaigned for the Lakers job while Luke Walton was still in a job, tried to get general manager power in Brooklyn, which ended up him getting traded to Milwaukee, has no idea how to run an NBA team, is a backstabber, is a shit bloke, and you bring him into this team. It is a disaster of a decision-making process. Kurt Rambis, who has had absolutely zero success, actually negative success in any position in basketball outside of being a player, he's making front office decisions along with his wife, who has no basketball experience at all, and Jeannie Buss. It is a complete shit show. And still, because they're the Lakers, they might get a marquee free agent, Kyrie Irving, Kawhi Leonard. Maybe one of those guys comes and the team looks better. But that is through pure luck and legacy from 30 years ago. Nothing that this front office has done in any portion in the last 10 years has really been a positive, and they continue to be an absolute shit show. And the stuff that happens with this team, you cannot make up. The decision-making processes, I shit on it all last season with the roster construction. This head coach stuff has been a complete annihilation of common sense throughout the league, and Jason Kidd should not be having any sort of job like this, especially one where he is one backstab away from getting the head coach position. It reeks of just terribleness, and hopefully other free agents realize this situation is a shit show. LeBron tells him that he's not happy with it, and who knows what's going to happen. But that's enough of me talking about Jason Kidd. You can extrapolate all my other thoughts on this Lakers situation. I've tweeted it out plenty of times. It is a disaster, and it's nothing to do with if they make the playoffs or get to the Western Conference Finals, if Kawhi or Kyrie or, God forbid, Kevin Durant. Okay, it's nothing to do with any of that. It's just there. You cannot defend any of this stuff that they have done over the past few weeks. It has been indefensible. So now, on that cheery note, let's look at this Lakers season. 37-45 last year. Obviously, not a great situation for them not to make the playoffs in LeBron James's first season with the Lakers.
LeBron James.
But his injury obviously had a real big impact on that. They were fourth in the NBA in pace, 24th in offense, which is not what you expect from a LeBron team, 12th in defense. So, you know, Walton did a few positive things there, but the offense was always going to struggle with the players that they brought in, with guys who struggle offensively, Lance Stephenson, Rajon Rondo, guys who struggle offensively on the team. Brandon Ingram, one of those guys. Lonzo Ball, one of those guys. And of course, injuries were a massive factor for this team. And no one's denying that. And again, another indication of people were suggesting that LeBron James should have been the number one pick in fantasy because he played 82 games last season. That was laughable to me. He played 55 games this season. He'd never played 82 games before. He saw a step back by 2 minutes per game this season. And while the season from LeBron was still pretty strong, it just goes to show that injuries, again, can happen at any point. Let's talk a little bit more about this Lakers team, look at some things that they may be maybe did right this year. There wasn't a huge amount. I like the fact that they played with pace. They their three-point percentage was horrible. No surprise. Look at the guys that they got on their team. 29th in three-point percentage. Their two-point shooting was pretty strong. 54% there is good, but can't shoot free throws. And their whole structure, not having a shooting coach on this team, is a disaster. When your team shoots under 70% from the line, there's questions that need to be asked, and this stuff needs to be changed. Rim protection was pretty good with JaVale there leading the way, but overall, a lot of their advanced stuff is not really very positive at all on this squad. And there are ways you can see it improving just by getting more games out of their better players, of course, and by other things happening in free agency. But it was not a good season at all for this Los Angeles Lakers squad. In terms of draft choices, they do have the 11th pick at this point in the draft. The lottery happening probably as you're listening to this. They have a 9.4% chance of jumping into the top four, a 2% chance of getting that number one overall selection. It's an unlikely scenario, quite obviously. They don't have a second round pick. That's gone to the Atlanta Hawks. So they do have at least one shot of getting maybe a somewhat decent player, but this draft is not considered strong outside of the, you know, when that top 10, top 15 type of an area outside of Zion Williamson. So it is not necessarily they're going to be looking to add a an impact guy in terms of salary. For this upcoming season, they can fit a max guy in. They can get to a max cap space of $36 million. Some trades could arrange some other things there. But that's with a whole bunch of guys coming off the books. So they've got in unrestricted free agents, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, who was strong down the end of the season, terrible for nearly all of it before that, Rajon Rondo, the Moose Mike Muscala, Lance Stevenson, Reggie Bullock, JaVale McGee, and Tyson Chandler. Plus, they've got a non-guarantee slash team option on Jamario Jones, who played well to end the season. So a lot of these guys you won't be seeing back, I wouldn't expect, if they're looking to make that splash on another free agent. So they're going to have to nearly all go to enable that space to come in there. $60 million in guaranteed salary for this upcoming season with those $56 million in cap hold. So Caldwell Pope, Rondo, Muscala, Stevenson, Bullock, JaVale, Chandler. Of course, a trade for Anthony Davis could be in the works. I think that's seeming a little bit less likely at this point, given the way that the team is structuring itself. Do they look to move a lot of these guys to bring Davis in? There is possibilities with a lot of things to happen. I expect a relatively, at least, attempt to be busy this offseason. Whether it comes to fruition or not remains to be seen. But a lot is going to change. The only guaranteed contracts on this squad for next season: LeBron, Lonzo, Ingram, Flaming Mo Wagner. The future MVP, Kyle Kuzma, Josh the Hitman Hart, and Isaac Bonga. They're the only guaranteed salaries on this, or guaranteed contracts for this team heading into this next season. So there is room for a lot to change with this squad. A lot of it is going to come down to health, though, and what happens. And it is so much of that is up in the air. They did just hire a new athletic trainer as well, someone who worked with Kobe during his rehab. Hopefully their reliance on people who have touched Kobe at some point in their lives is not going to be a detriment here as well. But by all reports, Judy Seto, I think her name is, has a pretty good reputation. If you want to maintain your good reputation, make sure you are subscribing to this podcast, and do so by downloading the Himalaya podcast app. Download that app and subscribe to this podcast, Locked On Fantasy Basketball. All right, let's talk about these players on this team now. We'll start, of course, with
LeBron James.
Disappointing overall for LeBron, the 16th ranked player, a second round guy. That's on a per game basis, only 55 games and 35 minutes a game. Seeing his minutes reduce was something that was expected, but it was a real drop in that free throw percentage that ended up hurting LeBron. 27.5 points, 8.5 rebounds, and 8.5 assists is still obviously fantastic. A career high in three-pointers made as well, 2 threes per game. And you compare those first four categories to what he did last year, it's not that different. 27.5, 8.5, 9.1 is what he did in his last season in Cleveland with 1.8 threes. Very similar, 27.5, 8.5, 8.5 with 2 threes. But even the steals, 1.4 versus 1.3. The blocks, he lost a 33% decrease in his blocks from 0.9 to 0.6, and it's the shooting. His true shooting went from 62 down to 59% with a drop of 7 percentage points in his free throw percentage and 3 percentage points in his field goal percentage. Now, LeBron's biggest fantasy strength was his field goal percentage. Outside of assists, Let's rephrase that. It was his third highest number, but it still had a Z score of over 2 in his last year in Cleveland. 2.25. This season, it went down to 0.29, and that's the reason why he dropped from 4th on a per-game basis down to 14th, is the fact that his field goal impact dropped so significantly, and his free throw impact dropped significantly as well, and that obviously ended up hurting him. Can he get those numbers back? He shot only 34% on threes after being at 36% each of the last two seasons. Some of that you have to think is related to the groin, but some of it also is the fact that this guy is not young anymore. And while he's been unbelievable throughout his entire career, he's 34 and a half years of age, will be 35 at some point during next season. At some point, it has to drop off. It just has to. At some stage, the shooting will drop off. And have we seen the beginning of that? I wouldn't want to take a LeBron in the first round next season. Start of the second, the turn, maybe I could consider that. Do I see him doing better than 27, 8, and 8, or, you know, higher than those, 27.5, 8.5, 8.5, which is what he did this season? Maybe, maybe not. Do I think that the efficiency will jump back up? I think the free throws can. The field goal percentage, I'm not totally sold on. I could see him being the 11th ranked guy at the end of next season. I could also see him taking a further step back, especially if they get another player, Kyrie, KD, Kawhi, Jimmy Butler, Kemba, whoever it is, and him playing 34.5 minutes a night. Maybe, maybe. Or dropping that usage down from 33%. For reference, he was at 31% only in Cleveland. So he took on a larger load offensively with that usage rate this season too. So that could come down as well, and that could end up hurting him. And maybe he scores only 25.5 points or 26 points per game this season with 9 assists. And that distribution of his stats ends up changing. JaVale McGee, surprisingly the second best, actually probably on LeBron, let's look at his advanced stuff, still really strong, plus 4.41 PIPM, led the team really comfortably. There was no one else over a plus one in PIPM. He was still a plus 7.3 on off. So while the decline of LeBron James has been thoroughly mentioned, he still was really, really good this season, just not up to his unbelievable elite best of all time type of levels. Let's talk JaVale, who was the second best player on this team fantasy-wise, the 63rd ranked guy overall, 22 minutes a game, 12 and 7.5. He would have been a top 50 guy had that pneumonia not sidelined him during the beginning of the season. Also, middle of the season, massively strong to begin. Pneumonia killed him, came back, could barely play, was a DMPCD at some times. Minutes limited, the net the season absolutely went crazy. I think in the fantasy playoffs portion of the season, if I can remember correctly, he was the second overall ranked player during the fantasy playoffs. Blocking shots, hitting his field goals, rebounding at a high level, really, really strong stuff from JaVale. But of course, he's an unrestricted free agent. What team does he end up going to? Do they bring him back? You'd think he's earned more than the minimum salary that he signed for with the Lakers. Do they bring in someone like DeMarcus Cousins on a cheap rate to take that spot away from McGee? So while theoretically he could be better than he was this season, because if he plays 26 minutes a game instead of 22, he'll be significantly better. Or does he go to another team and play just 20 minutes a night? I think we can expect another top 100-ish type year from McGee, even more so if he remains in LA. But look, it is a hard one to judge based on his age and where he's going to go. 12, 7.5 with two blocks is really, really strong from McGee. Defensively, he improved. He was a neutral PIPM player. He was a negative 3 on off, which is not a great indication for how he looks moving forward and what the contract's going to be. And the age is definitely a concern. But played 75 games, just that issue that he had with pneumonia really did impact his overall season. Next up is Rajon Rondo, who did manage to sneak in as the 98th best player in fantasy on a per-game basis. Only played 46 games, had multiple hand injuries, 30 minutes a game, 9 points, 5 rebounds, 8 assists, and 1.2 steals. The shooting is horrible, 47 true shooting, 41 from the field, 64 from the line, 36% from 3 on limited attempts. He never gets to the line, so he doesn't really hurt you too much in that free throw percentage category. But the 30 minutes a game that he played at the age of 33, he just won't get that playing time again. He got that playing time because A, Luke Walton was poor at the start of the season, and Lonzo had an injury at the beginning of the season, and then had an injury at the end of the season, giving Rondo those minutes. We saw that when Lonzo was healthy, Rondo was playing 20 minutes a night. We also saw Alex Caruso come in and be better than Rondo during the course of this season. So I don't see, even if he re-signs with LA, he won't be getting anywhere near this level of playing time. He won't be touching the top 100 as a fantasy player. His value really is coming from assists and steals, and he still can be a valuable player on a JJ Barea level, a 5 to 6 assist, 1.1 steal sort of a player, as a stream option off waiver wires, as a 14 to 16 team league guy. But expecting these amount of minutes from Rondo, who despite looking at that and going, how can you say someone who had 8 assists a game is bad? He was bad. He was really, really bad. He was a negative 2.45 PIPM. He was not a good on-court player. The team was 6.6 points per 100 possessions better off with him sitting on the bench. That marks, I think, the fifth consecutive year that the teams have been better with him on the bench versus with him starting. That is, he is just not good as an NBA player. He is horrible defensively. He struggles offensively. He assists hunts. He's selfish. But again, when the minutes are there, he puts up fantasy numbers, and that cannot be denied. I just think eventually, when the scenarios don't all fall in his favor, that he just won't be getting the minutes to contribute the way that he did this year. So don't expect this sort of play from Rondo again. Lonzo Ball, a big disappointment this season. Injuries curtailed his year pretty clearly, a significant ankle injury to end the year. 30 minutes a game only in his 47 games, 10 points, 5 rebounds, and 5.5 assists, but still managed the 1.5 steals with 0.4 blocks, shooting 41 and an absolutely atrocious 42% from the free throw line. That is piss poor, and that needs to improve. He was never that bad of a free throw shooter in college. He has not even cracked 46% from the line in his two NBA seasons. Horrendous. But 31% from three in his rookie year, 33% this season. A step up in his two-point shooting from 42 to 48 gives us some hope that those free throws, they just need to come up. He needs to get to be a 65-70% player, and then he will be a top 40 guy at some point, a top 30 guy. I truly believe that because he can block shots, and he was well down in that area this year. He went from 0.9 blocks per 36 to 0.5, and he was a great shot blocker at UCLA, so I expect that number to come up. The steals maintained really high. Now, the assists were low, and that's a factor of playing alongside LeBron, but in 4 years' time, maybe even in 4 months' time, he won't be playing alongside LeBron. So the assist numbers will rise back up. This is the perfect buy low opportunity for Lonzo in a dynasty league. I think he has multiple top 30 fantasy seasons. I think that he's still a really positive player who's never going to be a superstar and probably never makes an all-star game. But defensively, he's already an impactful guy. He was a positive PIPM guy this year. Was the third on the team in wins added, despite only playing 1,400 minutes in 47 games. So that's, to me, is a positive as well. A plus 1.9 on off. There's a lot to like for me with Rondo. With Lonzo still moving forward. And I can see, you know, those blocks jumping up next season and the assist as soon as LeBron is gone, which Lonzo's only 21. LeBron in 4 years is probably retired, or in 3 years is really a limited role. He goes back to 8.5 assists per game. And if that shooting, that free throw shooting, I still don't think it's a lost cause. He's never going to be a good free throw shooter, but it won't be this bad. When that comes back up, then we'll start seeing a guy being able to produce these numbers. He's never going to be a 20-point per game scorer, probably never going to be a 16-point per game scorer, really. But he doesn't rely upon that to be a fantasy option. And we've seen him put up really strong numbers. And I think he's going to be able to put up strong numbers moving forward. This will be, in his next seven seasons, I reckon this 18-19 season will be his worst year. So buying low in a dynasty league, it's really the right time now. Make sure, guys, again, another way to never miss an episode is when you're in the car driving, you're stuck in traffic, make sure you're telling your smart device to play the podcast Locked On Fantasy Basketball. Just say it out loud, the podcast plays, and then you never have to worry about missing a show. Let's go on to the next guy, the future MVP, Kyle Kuzma. I do not rate this guy long-term as an elite upside prospect. For all the hype, for all the Dutch ruddering, the Turkish grips, the Danish backhanders people have been giving Kyle Kuzma, he's yet to have a top 100 fantasy season. In fact, this season, he was worse than last year, despite playing two extra minutes, went from 106 down to 112. How did that happen, or why did that happen? Well, he was a poor three-point shooter in college. He had a really hot start to his rookie season, dropped off, ended up with 37% overall, and then reverted back to being a poor three-point shooter. Just cracked 30% from the three-point line, 1.8 triples only. He gets no assists, steals, or blocks. He's a below-average rebounder. He's not a good free-throw shooter. I just don't ever see it with Kuzma. And to be fair, averaging almost 19 points per game in your second season is fantastic. Andrew Wiggins also averages 19 points per game, and we're not out there we're not out there all getting excited about daisy chaining him, because for some we realize the other deficiencies in his game. For Kuzma, we don't quite do that, and we're still buoyed by the fact that he came out and shot a 1,020% from the 3-point line for the first 40 games of his rookie season, and haven't really noticed since then. He has really struggled in those areas and coming back to college type levels. But to be fair, Akeem, second in wins added on this team, plus 0.45 PIPM, plus 4.6 on off. He was still really good for this team, but we have to hone our expectations. I don't ever think he's becoming a top 50 player. I think he will have some top 100 seasons. I think maybe he tops out as a top 70 guy. I don't ever see him pushing to be an elite type of player. Defensively, he still struggles quite a bit. He can't pass, and that shooting really needs to come around. So I think we saw a little bit of a reality check for Kuzma this season, putting him into his place as that sort of guy who people were saying if we redrafted the 2018 draft, our 2017 draft, Kuzma goes at number 3. It's just nonsense. He just isn't that sort of a player. And to, you know, calibrate our expectations for him is probably smart. Jamario Jones was actually next in their fantasy rankings. He only played the 6 games, 24 minutes. Unbelievable rebounding. 8 rebounds per game as a wing with a steal and a block per game. Shooting wasn't great. 36 and 50% from the field and from the line. But hey, who was a good free throw shooter on this team? Absolutely no one is the correct answer. A positive defensive force, the PIPM was strong for Jamario. I think that they could consider looking to bring him back or not decline that team option, but so much depends on what they're doing in free agency. He is not a long-term rotation piece. He's like a 12th, 13th man sort of a guy who can come in when shit starts going wrong, like at the end of the season. But he did enough to say, well, he's not out of place on an NBA roster, and that's a real positive. Brandon Ingram, speaking of things that aren't positives, 158th overall this season, and another really troubling injury at the end of the year, the blood clot. We hope everything's okay. It does look like it's going to be positive for him, and it's not going to turn into a Mirza Teletovic or a Chris Bosh type situation, but it's always a frightening situation when you've got a blood clot that is keeping him out for the rest of the season. 52 games, 34 minutes a game from Ingram, and like Kuzma, averaged over 18 points per game. But he can't hit threes. 0.6 threes per game on 33%. He doesn't take them. He doesn't hit them. His assist rate, like Lonzo Ball's, suffered immensely. 3 assists per game, 5.2 rebounds, 0.5 steals, 0.5 blocks on 50% shooting and 68% from the line. His two-point shooting rate was significantly improved, but that assist rate dropped quite a bit, and it only really recovered when he started playing point guard when Lonzo and Rondo were both out at the end of the season, or the end of his season anyway. At the start of the year, he was barely generating any assists at all. And you're playing off the ball, and that's going to be a similar case for him playing alongside LeBron James. And if he gets traded, then that assist rate can jump up. But he does strike me, again, I don't want to keep referencing Andrew Wiggins, but as a guy who can put up some numbers, but he's just held back in other areas by lack of steals, lack of threes, poor percentages overall. And the advanced staff really doesn't like Brandon Ingram all that much. He was a negative 0.6 on off, which is not a great number, and negative 1.4 PIPM, which is a pretty poor number. He's still got to work a lot offensively. I'm not writing him off by any stretch of the imagination. I still think that he can improve. But this is his third season. He's yet to crack the top 100 in fantasy. He was 112th last year, despite playing over 33 minutes each of the last two seasons. And it is in large part held back to the fact that he gets to the line a lot, but he can't hit his free throws. So he's almost turning into a punt free throw sort of a guy. He's never had a high steal rate. In fact, his steal rate is really, really poor. He cannot get those numbers up. And if I bring up where he sort of ranks in position in terms of percentile, fifth percentile in steal rate. That is horrible. Now, block rate is really good, 75th percentile, but yeah, he just doesn't generate any steals. He, for a guy who still generates, you know, and plays point guard and gets assists, he still, his assist to usage rate isn't very high, 39th percentile in that area. So he still needs to work on a bit more with his distribution, and his shooting needs improvement as well. He just doesn't take enough threes and he can't hit them. Maybe that's a good thing. That he doesn't take them, but he still needs to be providing at least more of a threat out there. So I do worry about Ingram. I think next season he can maybe push into the top 100. I'm not convinced in him becoming ever an all-star caliber player. I don't think we get to that level with him. I still have worries, but I'm not completely writing him off. If I had to say him or Kyle Kuzma will be the better player moving forward, I think it's probably Ingram. He's not at the moment, but he still has that upside. But is he just Justice Winslow with a better PR department. Like, who is he as a player? I feel like that's maybe who he is. He's a better scorer than Winslow, of course. But I just worry that there's just so much passivity. I can't say that word properly. Passiveness, let's just say that, in his game, that it just does worry me moving forward as to where he goes. Big sexy Alex Caruso, I thought, was really strong down the stretch. He played 21 minutes a game, 9, 2, and 3 with a steal per game. I wouldn't hate if he came in and was the backup point guard on this team. He was better than Rondo, in my opinion, a negative 0.2 PIPM, a plus 3.1 on off. Not ever going to be a star or even a starter caliber player, but could have some 14-team utility moving forward in the next couple of seasons. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope was a disaster for most of the year and then came on really strong at the end. Played 25 minutes a game, lost his starting spot to Josh Hart at one point. Ingram was starting at shooting guard. Their lineups were all over the place. 43% from the field, 35% from three. But like another guy we're going to talk about next, doesn't really do anything else apart from hit threes. Like, that's really what his game is. And as I said, fired it up over the last 15 games, averaged 20 points per game with over three threes per game, mainly because his usage spiked to 23% with Lonzo, with Ingram, and with LeBron out. He was able to put up big numbers. That's not going to be the case all the time. I don't know if he remains on this team, but he is not going to be in a situation, to me, where he can score 20 points per game and still do it rather inefficiently. It wasn't that bad, actually. So 57% true shooting is not terrible. Excellent free throw shooter, needs to get to the line a little bit more, but still really good there. Rebounds and assists are non-existent, but hitting those threes at such a high rate was impressive from Caldwell-Pope. And he probably earned himself another look somewhere as a backup, but not as a 29-minute-a-game guy. He's more of a 24, 23-minute-a-game player, I believe. Defensively, the metrics were horrible for him, negative 1.96 PIPM. The only player... Actually, he was the worst player in that metric on this entire squad. And for a guy who comes in as a 3-and-D wing, when you can't provide any defense, that's a concern. Negative 2.3 on-off as well was not great. I think that this the finish to the season he had is going to give some people increased expectations, and I'm not really buying it. The other guy, Reggie Bullock, came across in the trade. Disappointing. 30 minutes a night, 11 points, 2.3 triples, and like Caldwell-Pope, all he does is hit threes. Rebounds, non-existent. Assists, steals, blocks. His assists actually did improve this season. He got to 2.0 per game. Last year, he was at 1.5. Steals, he gets none of, and his field goal percentage fell off a cliff. He hit 54% of his twos last year, down to 48% this season. And given a look at his history, the 54% is the one that stands out as the outlier. 38% from three when he was at 45 last season. 45 is a hard number to be able to stick to. So this is, I feel like, getting more realistic as to what Bullock is as a player. Do they bring him back or not? If they do, he won't be playing 30 minutes a night, would be my guess. And I think we look at him as a three-point streaming option moving forward. Really disappointing with Josh the Hitman Hart this season. He finished the season as the 200th ranked player. I thought he could be a consistent top 100 guy at points during the year, but the injuries, the knee problems really bothered him. He struggled to get anything going. And couldn't maintain a consistent enough playing time. He did go up to 26 minutes a night, but still shot just 41% from the field, down from 47 last year. He's not a good free throw shooter. We saw his threes go from 40 down to 34%. What sort of a player is he there? He's a strong rebounder, but even that dropped off this season with guys like LeBron taking more of those boards away from him. And my hope with Hart is dropping off a little bit. I still think he can provide some solid enough defense. He needs to do more with the ball in his hands and more self-creation. He was still a negative guy in terms of PIPM, but a positive in his on-off. So there is still hope for me. I rate him significantly higher than Bullock and both KCP. But do they look to go with a Lonzo, Ingram, LeBron, Kuzma 1-4, leaving Hart in that backup role? So much can change with this squad depending on what happens with a trade. Hart's a guy to look on. I think that his disappointing season can improve, but it still wasn't fantastic stuff from him, and he didn't look really stand out. He shows flashes, and then he struggles at other times, and that's a little bit concerning. The Moose, Mike Muscala, the jewel in the crown of the Ivica Zubac trade. Yeah, he's not an NBA rotation caliber player. Lance Stephenson should not also be in the NBA. Really struggled once again. He just isn't a good NBA player. He struggles defensively. He struggles offensively. Yeah, cool. He does funny air guitars, and he blows in people's ear, and he pushes pregnant girlfriends down the stairs. Like, all those things, fantastic. Oh, we love Lance. Yeah, fantastic. I cannot get behind Lance Stephenson in any aspect at all, and he should not be on an NBA roster, and he should not be playing as part of the rotation. And that's one of the big mistakes that Luke Walton made this season, was playing Lance too many games, 68 games, 17 minutes. He shot the ball poorly, 43% overall. The assists weren't there. He's just not going to be an impactful guy. Tyson Chandler's 36 and a half years of age. I get the impression he wants to come back for one more season. Whether they bring him back or not remains to be seen. He's not any sort of impact guy. While the other guy we need to talk about here is Flaming Mo Wagner. Disappointing rookie year, 29% from three for Wagner, coming in as a guy, as a stretch big man, someone who can hit those threes. Offensively, he struggled. Negative 8 overall on off is not good. Negative 2.78 PIPM. He held his own defensively, but the defensive stats we saw him procure at Summer League were never going to be able to stick, and they didn't stick. I still have some faith that he can be a Mo Spates type of a guy that can come in and be, you know, provide some offense and maybe have a 12-point per game a season at some point in his career. Never going to be a top 100 guy, I don't believe. The guy that I do like long-term as a real flyer type is Isaac Bonga. We didn't see huge amounts from Bonga this season, just 120 minutes. He was a negative 0.15 in his PIPM. Plus 4.3 in his on-off, but this is such limited sample size, it's hard to read too much into it. But he can play defense, he can get some steals and blocks, he can get some assists. He shot 15% from the field, so obviously a lot needs to improve from Bonga in that area, but that is just a deep dynasty player that you're stashing, and maybe things come up. Do they move on from Ingram and Hart, and KCP has gone, and Bonga is forced to be the 10th guy in this rotation, and in 3 years' time, he develops into a starter. But I think he's got a little bit of value, you know, much higher than, say, Muscala and Bullock, even long-term Stevenson, even John Williams, who played some big games at the start of the year and then fell off as the season continued. So this is a team with a lot of intrigue, a lot of just stuff to laugh out loud at, really, and their free agency and their offseason is going to be heavily scrutinized. They get absolutely zero benefit of the doubt for anything at this point until the moves actually come, but yeah, so much could still change with this squad. Make sure you are following me on Twitter at @RedRock_Bball and follow the Locked On Podcast Network at Locked On NBA Net on both Instagram and on Twitter. My Instagram is Locked On Fantasy Basketball. Also, subscribe on YouTube. Hit that subscribe button. Hit the bell for a notification. Leave a comment. Give it a thumbs up. Share it with your friends as well. Guys, we are done here. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. See ya. Rob Pelinka.